Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. My name is Mike from Boston.
This is Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada.
And this is Chris from Dallas, Texas.
And this week is the Porter Show.
Porters.
Porter. I think we're all a fan of Porters, so we're kind of excited about this show. So, in the show today, we're going to do our fermentation conversation, which is our group tasting of the Anchor Porter. We'll go into our hop topics, which is our news section. Then our tasting flight, which is our individual review, which we'll be doing. Toby will be doing the Firestone Walker Reserve Robust Porter. Chris will be doing the Left Hand Brewing Blackjack Porter, and I will be doing Pugsley's Signature Series from Shipyard Brewing Company, their Imperial Porter. And then we'll do the Tweet of the Week. And then we'll have our backwash section, where we basically take letters and input from previous shows.
It's going to be a really long segment this week.
Yeah.
Really long. Lots of feedback. Lots of backwash.
And then we go through the last call.
So I just want to pipe in just for a second. In case everybody didn't notice, anybody that listened last week, we went through and we kind of renamed all the segments to be a little more beer friendly. So we do want feedback or backwash, as we're calling it now. Let us know what you think of the
being clever.
Yeah. Let us know what you think of the names of the segments and yeah.
Actually, just let us know anything. Just type in
anything at all.
Send an email. Just anything at all. Anything. Say hello.
We need backwash.
Yes. It's the only way we're going
to
get better.
Just like drinking out of that 40 and you get down to the bottom. That's what we need.
Okay. All right. On to our next segment.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're going to talk about it. We're going to drink some beer. Yeah. This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Okay. This section is called our fermentation conversation. Today we have Anchor Porter by Anchor Steam Brewing Company in San Francisco, California. Just a little bit of a history about Porter. It became kind of a fad in like the 1700s in England. It gained some popularity among transport workers in central London. And there was actually...
It's a heck of a fad.
What's that?
So that's a heck of a fad.
Yeah. Well, it goes on to say that, you know, that it's grown more popular over time. And it's definitely one of my favorite styles. I love porters. I love like a dark, rich beer that's got coffee and chocolate and but still be able to get some hops in there too, which
absolutely
us, you know, loving the West Coast style, we love our hops. So did you guys already open yours, you cheaters?
Oh, yeah. I did.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I want to open mine too.
Let's drink some beer.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and open yours. Toby, I know you've poured yours. You want to go ahead and talk about the look for a minute?
Well, it's definitely, you can't see through it, I'll tell you that. It's pretty black. The head is, I got really nice, huge, frothy, light brown, tannish head. Probably about two fingers at the top there. But yeah, if you hold this up to the light, it's pretty much pitch black. And maybe at the bottom of the glass, you can see a little bit of ruby color coming through.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting that.
Yeah. It looks
Like same here. I'm looking at that and really liking the color. Nice tan head, and reminds me of a really good.
Root beer float.
That's it. That's
what I was, dark.
It does. I mean, that's exactly what I was gonna say. It's a nice, really, like fluffy head on it. I'm getting about two fingers as well.
Dark and lovely.
Yeah, mine poured. I mean, it's almost black. It's like maybe two fingers of head. Definitely some good retention. It's still hanging out like a root beer float, like you said. It's sticking around. It doesn't seem like it's going anywhere anytime soon.
Now, when I first poured this and I took a whiff of it, right off the bat I got cinnamon, which I don't remember getting that before when I've had this before, but I got a quick cinnamon that just hit me right away.
Yeah, I get that.
But then, of course, the coffee really comes through, and a little bit of chocolate. The roasted barley really comes through.
Yeah, I think it's those hops that are getting that cinnamon coming through there.
It's got some like the. I mean, you can taste. I haven't tasted it yet, but you can smell like a little bit of like a light coffee as opposed to like a darker roast coffee, and then like a burnt sugar almost.
Definitely
get even a little nuttiness, like a roasted nuttiness to it. I even get a little molasses and caramel in there too. It's real sweet. That sweetness comes through too, kind of like the cinnamon. Definitely
smells good. Almost like a little alcohol coming out of it too, just a tiny bit.
Oh, you know what else it was really prominent was the I got wine. Really? Too, a red wine.
Yeah, I could see now that. Maybe a little grape coming through.
Now tasting it, I definitely get some wine, some red wine, some grape. Maybe that's because of the alcohol. The little bit of alcohol with the grape kind of gives it this wine. Not so much a port wine, but just kind of a basic dry red wine.
Yeah, it's a little bit sweeter than I had expected it to be. When you say wine, that's definitely comes to mind. You know, getting the sweetness out on the edges.
Yeah,
it's definitely a nice creamy sweet. It's got more of a malty taste than it did smell, I think.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm not getting as much coffee on the taste as I get from the aroma. I'm getting a little less coffee.
Some cola, maybe. I get a little bit of cola. Maybe that's all part of the whole sweetness thing that's coming out. Some sugary, real sugary kind of cola. Definitely. Maybe some vanilla.
The carbonation's like perfect. I don't know how else to describe it. It's got a creamy smoothness, but that carbonation is just very. Like
still got that carbonation bite in it, but not too bad. Like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
it finishes
very good.
It finishes like it I still get the really burnt nice. Like instead of the burnt sugar, like the smell, I get kind of a burnt malt, like a really dark burnt.
Yeah. I get kind of dry too.
I was just gonna say that. Yeah, you know, we keep going back to that wine analogy, but yeah, I'm definitely getting some dryness out of it, much more than I expected.
Not very bitter. Kind of oily, a little bit of the alcohol, and not very acidic. It's very light acidity.
Yeah, oily is a good description because it does kind of have that smooth. I guess it is a little oily as opposed to creamy. It's good. I like it.
What would you pair this up with, Mike? Food wise. Yeah.
I'm gonna say a rack of smoked ribs.
Sound good? Yeah. Nice. I think I'm going to go get me some right now. Anybody got a toothpick?
Anybody got a toothpick? They don't... one thing I wanted to mention is they don't actually list what kind of hops they use. And we were trying to find it, but we've been able to come up with it. Maybe another beer that we're trying that keeps their hops a secret.
Yeah. Did you go into the... You said what the ratings were, right?
No, actually. Sure. Beer Advocate rates it A- overall, and the Ahlstrom Brothers rate it an A. And Rate Beer overall is a 98 percentile, which is, I would say, pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's a very good rating.
Did you know that the Anchor Porter has actually been brewing since 1972? It was first bottled in 1974.
Oh, I was a wee little lad.
It just goes to show, I mean, Anchor is one of the founding microbreweries in the United States. You know, they were one of the, I think they, if not the first microbrewery to make it big. I'm so proud.
how would you rate this yourself?
I would give this, I'd probably give this, I'd give it 5 pints.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah, this is an excellent porter. It's smooth going down. It's not too bitter. It's very well balanced. I like the dryness. I like the sweetness. And it doesn't overpower with the coffee and the chocolate. It's just all very well balanced.
See, I'm going to give it 4 pints, and part of that reason is because I actually want a little bit more coffee. You know, I want it to be a little more roasty. You know, that's kind of what I was hoping for. So it's very, very good, but I think 4 pints is where it sits with me.
Yeah, the thing where you guys were mentioning the wine a little bit, and yeah, I agree. I'd like more coffee. But I think that wine is maybe, it's got almost like a dark fruit kind of flavor to it, which might be, you know, similar to wine. But I'm still going to, I mean, I think that this should be like the poster boy for porters. I mean, this is like a good American porter. Like, I think they definitely kind of set the bar in like what an American porter should be. I agree. I'd like a little more coffee. I'm gonna give it 4.5 myself, but how's Anchor Steam? Well done, sir.
Nice.
It's on my top 10 list for sure.
Nice.
Good stuff. Thank you, San Francisco.
Excellent. All right, ready to move into some hop topics?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Okay, welcome to the Hop Topics section. This is our beer news segment. And Toby, what do you got for us today?
Well, I got this little bit of internet news that you told me about, and I wanted to talk about it. It's from SanDiegoNewsNetwork.com. That's SDNN.com. And they talk about... The story was called Bottoms Up, 8 Great San Diego Microbrews. The craft beer, they say the craft beer is to San Diego what artisanal wine is to Napa. You know, it's huge.
Nice.
There are roughly 35 independently owned and operated breweries. Some operations are so small they simply cannot quench the demand of thirsty beer enthusiasts. I didn't know there was that many.
What, how many? 30?
35 independently owned.
Wow.
San Diego's vibrant indie beer culture has California's less strict alcohol distribution laws to thank. Craft brewers have the ability to sell directly from their
facilities. That's the way it should be.
And deliver to pubs and restaurants.
Pay attention, Texas.
most states aren't as lucky. if you did see the movie Beer Wars that came out about a month or so ago, they really hit on this subject. You can join the community by checking out San Diego Brewers Guild website, which I believe is the San Diego Brewers Guild.com. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but if you do a Google San Diego Brewers Guild, you can find out about tours, pub restaurants, and other craft-related news, including local events. But anyway, to their eight great San Diego microbrewers, one of them, which I've had, would be Alesmith's Speedway Stout.
Love Alesmith.
Comes in at 12% ABV. Green Flash Brewing Company's Triple Belgian Style Ale.
I want to talk just for a second about Alesmith. Hey, Mike, you remember the, what was it, the Yule Smith on the cask when we had that at the brewery?
Yes, do I ever. That was like one of the best beers devised.
It was the first time I had ever had a cask beer, and to this day is the best beer, single like glass of beer that I've ever had.
They revolve.
Yule Smith on the cask at the Alesmith Brewery.
They go back and forth between a holiday IPA and some kind of red. What they do, they kind of alternate, like summer winter. But the holiday IPA was just so good on cask.
That's funny you mentioned the Yule Smith, because when I was first starting to get into craft beers, there was this guy I worked with at CompUSA, and he for Christmas gave me a bottle of Yule Smith, and I'd never heard of it, and Gina and I shared it, and we were like, holy crap,
it's amazing.
This is some it was I gotta say, it was probably one of the best beers I've had as well.
Now try having it on cask at the brewery.
Like I can't buttery smooth, like
can't even imagine.
Okay, well, what I was gonna say, what's the rest of the list? We're gonna get hung up on every one of these, aren't we?
Ballast Point, which I know surprised Mike recently, they've got a Sour Wench Blackberry Ale, and the Blind Lady Ale House, which I've never
heard my of old guys. Hood.
They've got an automatic number one. And
they're number one?
No, they have one called the Automatic Number One.
Oh, sorry.
It's similar to a Belgian wit or wheat ale. It's all organic too. And also I think the last one on the list is Mission Brewery, their Hefeweizen.
Did they list them like in order? Was it just like eight great beers, or was it like
it was just eight great beers?
Like,
no.
Okay.
No, there was no, you know, number one is this one. It was just kind of listed. So check it out. It's on sdnn.com. Look for the this eight great San Diego microbrews.
Cool.
As in reference to Ballast Point, and you know, Ballast Point, I tried a few of their beers and wasn't horribly impressed with them over the course of, you know, the years of being in San Diego. And it's one of the larger breweries down there, and they have a homebrew shop attached to them. So I've been in there a few times. But Mike brought, what was it, the Shipyard? What was the Ballast Point you brought to my house?
Oh, something, Victory at Sea, wasn't it?
Yeah. Victory at Sea.
So good.
A vanilla porter that was just unbelievable. It was awesome. So great.
And I didn't even think you could get it in
but
a
anyway,
bottle.
Yeah, they're getting much better as a brewery over the years. Really, really maturing as a brewery. Anyway, I guess
I've gone to their tastings, and I've had some stuff that they don't bottle.
Some of the best stuff is the stuff they don't bottle.
That is really good, yeah.
What you got for it, Chris? Of course.
So I think on to my hop topic for the day. We kind of talked before about how we wanted the podcast to progress, and we'd like, whenever possible, to bring in some subjects that sort of combine the tech side of things with beer, you know, which isn't going to be a lot of the time. But one of the things that came up this last week is New Belgium introduced a new system into their bottling, in their production environment, where they're using Fluenzy's RFID solution to get accurate beer keg data. Not bottling, I shouldn't say bottling, but their kegging process. And basically what this is every keg that they produce has an RFID tag attached to it, which for anybody that doesn't know is a radio frequency identification tag. So that they know where these kegs are from the moment that it's filled to the moment that it goes out to its distribution and on the distribution trucks all the way out to the customer itself. Obviously, they're not tracking it once it gets to the customer, but once they get back the keg and it comes back. So from fill to fill, they know how long each keg is out. They're tracking, you know, how much is being produced and really cognizant of how their kegging operation is working. It's actually pretty cool in regards to technology and beer. Yeah. To know where this individual keg is at all times is pretty cool.
Big Brother keg trackers. The price of deposit, because I know that they've really upped the deposit for a keg now. It used to be.
It's because they have Intel inside.
Nice. And now it's like I've heard of places charging $100 deposit on a keg because, you know, people turn them into barbecues and they just keep them at home.
I mean, it depends.
Coffee tables and whatnot.
You know, I don't know how many breweries are actually using this RFID system. You know, New Belgium is the first one that I've heard using it. And yeah, the way that it works is, you know, from the time that it's filled, it's constantly tracked. So they can tell how long it sits at a distributor before it goes out.
Right.
And how long, you know, just how long it's in whatever stage of the distribution process it is. So I don't know how much that affects the cost of it. I would imagine, I think these kegs are probably not the ones that are going out to customers.
Well, I'm hoping that the cost doesn't get passed on to the customer. You know, because I think that's a cost
that shouldn't be
passed on to the customer. But, you know, that's my own personal opinion. Or whatever that's worth.
It maybe also be a freshness thing, you know. They want to keep track of how long the keg is.
Yeah, they don't want it sitting too long in one spot.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Get it to the end consumer as quickly as possible.
Beer keg tech, though. I mean, that's like...
Yeah,
I mean, once... The nice thing about this is if you're able to monitor where the keg is and how long it's sitting in each place, you're able to maximize your distribution and you're able to figure out more ways to be efficient in that process. So I think it's a great idea. So anyway, that's my tech news for the day.
Well, my hop topic for the day is from the Baltimore Sun and BaltimoreSun.com, and this is from Rob Casper. This is talking about the 1634 Ale. It's a new beer from Maryland's past. It was basically a beer that was brewed about 375 years ago. I'm not going to read the whole article. Basically, it's exactly that. They took a beer, it was a recipe from 1634, which has a little place in Maryland's history. And some other breweries have done this as well, and I wanted to talk a little bit about if we liked this trend, if some breweries did it better than others. Dogfish Head did some 9,000-year-old Chinese recipe.
The Midas Touch.
New Belgium came out with a 1554 Enlightened Blackened Ale or something like that. So,
The Dogfish Head Midas Touch was, it was like an ancient
Chinese secret
recipe that they had found. Was it? I don't think it was Chinese.
That's probably
why
it's so expensive.
Yeah. It's really old, dude.
But I want to say, you know,
it's aged really well.
Here's the thing about these old recipes. You know, some are definitely better than others, but I think the best part about breweries doing this is putting a modern spin on this. You know,
right.
And As long as they put a modern spin, like basically like an the American styles are a modern spin on these old recipes. And that's what we seem to enjoy.
And what better place than Baltimore? I mean, that's yeah. pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, the tough thing about it is, you know, you have a recipe from, you know, thousands of years ago, and you're going to drink it and be like, whoa, what's
yeah.
this?
It's like, what's this?
it's
the tastes have changed.
Yeah, nothing's going to be
yeah, I mean, just different ingredients. And this one, there's no hops. It's just, I don't know. It's like with molasses and caraway seeds, and it just doesn't sound appealing to me.
Yeah, most of these ones that are, oh, excuse me. Nice. Sorry.
And on that note, we're wrapping up the hot topics for the week.
Nice, Chris. Nice.
No, not yet. Okay.
No. The Dogfish Head one, the Midas Touch. Most of those older beers aren't brewed with hops. You know, you were saying that the one you were talking about has other stuff.
Yeah, molasses and caraway seeds, and I forget what else it says.
Yeah, they're usually considered like a spiced beer or an herbed beer. They use different stuff, but it's an interesting concept, and I definitely want
to. I'd love to try it.
I definitely want to see some more people doing it.
Yeah. Well, that is our hop topics segment for this week, and we're on to the next one.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
So today I am doing the Firestone Walker's Reserve Robust Porter, and I can't be more excited to try this thing. I picked it up at the local liquor store for $10 for a 22-ounce. It's... It's 5.9 ABV, and this is from Firestone Brewing Company out of Paso Robles, California. It's in San Luis Obispo County. You've been there.
Yep. Yeah, I went up there. My mom kind of lives up in there, in that area, and we went there one time when we were visiting her. It's a really nice brewery. It's kind of, you know, not a very populated area of California, so there wasn't a whole lot of people in there, but it's nice. Got a pint glass, had some good beer.
I love visiting breweries.
Now once I pour, I get about two fingers of really frothy tan, light brown, almost really frothy head, and upon smell I get some really sweet, fruity, kind of almost bitter fruitiness, like almost like a black cherry, you know, like a bitter black cherry, with a little bit of roastedness to it. Maybe some coffee in there.
I love roastedness.
Roasted malts in there.
Robustly roasted.
Big time. Oh, this smells good.
How's it taste, dude?
We integrated the whole smell thing into podcast.
Whoa.
Not yet. This is a really hard part of this podcast, is the watching other people drink.
Like, I just want to open mine, and I got to listen to him talk about it.
Oh, big, big coffee. Not too much. It's real thin, you know, thin on the palate, and I get lots of coffee, a little bit of chocolate. And I've noticed a lot of times when I have porters, I always get a certain kind of like a cherry skin to it. It's that bitter sweet cherry. I always get that aftertaste of maybe a cherry skin. It's present here. A little dry. Oh, this is really good. This is creamy. The lacing now is probably dropped down. Lacing's not doing too good.
Yeah, we were talking about
there's
that.
There's a little bit. There's
with the Anchor Porter, the lacing on that one was There's a crazy amount of lacing going on with that anchor.
It hung out. Like, you know exactly where you poured the beer to.
Could be my glassware. It was
kind of hanging out at the top.
But it does have, it is retaining a nice thin head to, you know, to retain a lot of that flavor and aroma. So it's, so far it's doing really well.
Did you talk about the Beer Advocate and Rate Beer and other rating and the, you talked about the brewery a little bit in the beginning, right?
Oh, no, I didn't. Actually, Beer Advocate gave this a B+. Which is very good. The Ahlstrom brothers haven't reviewed it yet. And Rate Beer has given it a 93. So these...
It's pretty highly rated.
Rate Beer seems to like it. Yeah. It seems to like it a little more than Beer Advocate. This is really good. This is very smooth, very creamy. The coffee is present. It's not at all bitter. There is some dryness to it, but I wouldn't say... I mean, there is a little bit of the cherry skin bitterness that I talked about, but it's not... It's not very present. And I don't know why they call it a robust porter, because to me, this is a pretty smooth, creamy porter. This is good. If I was to give it any number of pints, I would probably give this... 4.5.
Would you pair it with anything?
4.5 pints. I would say this would be good at dessert time.
Dessert.
Maybe if you're having some chocolate cake or something. This would go good with it. Or even some cheese. Yeah, if you were having some cheese, like some brie or some gouda, this would probably go really well with it. Maybe even some, if you were having dinner, some barbecue, you know, maybe some smoked barbecue.
Yeah, those porters seem to go really well with the barbecue and the smoked.
Yeah, you could kind of pick from.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I don't get any smokiness out of this one though. As far as the flavors in the beer, I don't get much smokiness out of it. But
it would be good for desserts for sure, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris, I see you chomping at the bit there to waiting to open yours.
I am ready to go.
What you got?
Which one are you doing, Chris?
I am doing the left-hand Blackjack Porter, but I want to hear my intro music first.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Yoo-hoo! My turn. So, this week, I am talking about the Left-Hand Brewing Blackjack Porter. A little background on the brew. It's a left-hand brewing company in Longmont, Colorado. Have you?
And I'm left-handed.
Nice. The style is an English-style porter. It's got an ABV of 6.5. The ingredients from their website is a pale two-row crystal Munich chocolate and wheat malts and Magnum and U.S. Golding hops. Another beer that they make is the Milk Stout, which is one of the first beers that I've ever had from them.
And love I it.
Really is the Magnum good. Larger hops?
That I don't know. Thanks. Rate beer rating.
It's the Dirty Harry of the hop world.
Nice. Got a rate beer rating of 81 out of 100, and the BA rating, Beer Advocate rating, of the users rated it a B, and the Ahlstrom brothers did as well. So, with no further ado.
Adieu.
Is it open? Yeah, I was at Left Hand a few years ago. I was in Colorado visiting some family, and we were cruising up to Fort Collins to visit my aunt. And on the way, we had to stop by Longmont and check out Left Hand, because I had that milk stout at that Stone Beer Festival.
Stone Beer Festival.
And that was what that's what made me want to go there, stop by. It's a cool little place. It's real small. It's nice.
Excellent. So, on the pour, it's got about a finger and a half of head. Not too foamy. A little bit of carbonation. It's a pretty dark porter. Little bit of amber color towards the bottom and the sides, but mostly just pretty dark, not very see-through. Looks good.
Looks good. Smells good.
For the aroma, I'm definitely getting some coffee and chocolate. Malts are coming through. I don't really get much hop character at all. Sorry, I really... Porters are just so good. I love the coffee flavor. I'm a big coffee person, too, so... Yeah. The head's dissipating kind of quickly. It's still got that... about a half finger left on the top that's kind of sticking around, but... Have a taste.
Tasty. That's a tasty beverage.
Definitely getting the roasted coffee, like a good dark roast. Not quite like an espresso roast. It's not got that bitter quality to it, but it's definitely got that roasted coffee flavor.
Gotta love the coffee.
It's got.
I really wish we could cheers our glasses together.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's creamy, but it's got a pretty pronounced carbonation to it.
You got some good lacing going on there, dude. That looks good. Yeah. That looks nice.
And it's got a nice.
Why? Thank you.
Thank you. I try very hard with my.
I really like your lacing.
Try to work on it three times a week.
I'm all about the lace. So it's got a pretty pronounced alcohol flavor. Nice warming alcohol. I shouldn't say flavor. It's not like, you know, during the scotch, but it's definitely got some warming feelings that are going on that's very nice and comforting. A lot of chocolate on the back of the tongue. Just like the aroma, not much hop going on in the beer at all. It's good, man. I really like this a lot. If I was going to give it a rating of pint glasses, I would actually probably put this at about a 4. Yeah, probably right about a 4. Probably about the same as the Anchor. I actually like this slightly better than the Anchor that we just reviewed. Only because the coffee's a little more pronounced. Like I said, with the Anchor, I wanted a little bit more coffee flavor in there. That's what I look for in my porters. It's not quite as lacy as the Anchor. And we know I'm all about the lace. If I was going to pair this with some food, you know, it'd be really good with this. It's like some roast beef with like some rosemary and mashed potatoes and like a mushroom gravy.
Wow.
It's a really comforting.
Whoa, that's specific. That sounds nice. Really good.
it would be, man. This beer would rock with some just like some down home good roast beef and very hearty.
Can I come over to your house for dinner?
All right. My turn.
I'm hungry now.
So I'm reviewing the Shipyard Brewing Pugsley Signature Series. Oh, wait a minute. What about my intro music?
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Ah, that's better. Okay, I want to say that being third on the tasting flight sucks. You're sitting here looking at your beer and you can't open it.
I'm already drunk.
But now it's my turn. Okay, so I am...
You realize we're not going to be able to say anything because we're not going to know what the hell's going on at this point.
Right.
So I am reviewing Pugsley's Signature Series from Shipyard Brewing Company. It's their Imperial Porter, and I'm just going to crack it open right now.
Pugsley,
yeah.
Huh?
I want to talk a little bit about Shipyard Brewing Company. They're out of Portland, Maine. And this particular series, this Pugsley, it's named after the head brewer at Shipyard, and his name is Alan. What's his name here? Alan Pugsley.
He is Pugsley. <Yeah. laughs> There
we go. It says here, Pugsley's signature series is named after Shipyard Brewing Company's master brewer, Alan Pugsley. Alan is from Hampshire, England, where he worked as with Peter Austin at the world-famous Ringwood Brewery. I don't know if you've ever heard of, what is it, the Thumper? Is it Old Thumper from Ringwood Brewery? I think that's one of their more popular beers.
I've heard of Ringworm.
No, not Ringworm. And then he moved to the United States in 86. This is his take on the Imperial Porter. And I have already...
So what makes it... What's the difference between a regular porter and an Imperial Porter?
Long story short, Imperial is bigger and bolder. It was a style that basically they implemented with ships when they had it for better transport. The Imperial styles traveled better.
Same concept behind like an IPA. Yeah,
very very similar.
Yeah,
use a little more alcohol content.
Now looking a little into this Pugsley Signature Series, I see they also make a quadruple X IPA. So it sounds like the Signature Series is pretty crazy. Mm.
I'm looking forward to trying more, for sure. This one was Beer Advocate rated it a B. The Ahlstrom Brothers hasn't chimed in on this one just yet. And Rate Beer has got it in the 57th percentile, which... not so good, but I think I'll be the judge of that here.
There you go.
I do got to say one thing. Most of the beers, it seems we've been reviewing, the Ahlstrom Brothers have been a little slow to review.
Yeah.
What's going on, buddies? Well,
I think it's been definitely with our regional stuff. We've been kind of picking something a little different, which we're trying to do. You know, it's like we're doing highly available style, and then we want to pick something very regional, kind of local, and
absolutely.
It's all about balance.
We may also be picking stuff that's pretty new too, you know, and they just haven't had a chance to. Those guys are probably pretty busy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it must be a rough life.
This one pours really deep brown, almost black. There's kind of a small head, kind of short-lived, but man, the smell's like, it's got that same, like you were talking about that cherry sweetness. It's got kind of a coffee and a cherry smell to it, or maybe like a little bit of licorice, like a black licorice even.
Whoa.
He's very nice.
What, anise?
It's good.
I like me some anise.
Let's see. It's got a really... really dark, malty coffee flavor to it.
No, the other thing tough about you going third is... we're also drinking our beer still. So we're like, yeah, whatever he said about that one.
Yeah, sure. Mm. This one actually has a little hint of hops, which is good because I don't think any of us have...
we didn't really get that with out of any of
the other ones.
No, I didn't get any hops at all.
Just a tinge of it. It's got some good coffee chocolate flavor for sure. It's good. It's got...
can I just say how much I've enjoyed this week? Because...
Porters.
It's been a good week.
This one's bitter at the end, like, but it's not, you know, not too bitter, but nice, like a bitter sweet. It's almost like it's trying... the hops is kind of making it that a little tiny bit bitter at the end.
Man, the worst thing that ever happened in the brewing industry was those stupid... Who was it that did the bitter beer face commercial?
Yeah.
God, people... Bitter is good.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Bitter is good. It's not a bad thing. The bitter beer face, man. That was the worst thing.
Come on.
So what do you think for a rating on that one, Mike?
Well, I did want to say that I think the carbonation is really good, like almost kind of spot on like the Anchor was. For rating, I mean, if I'm rating it just as a porter, I'm going to give it a 5. It's really good.
Really?
But I'm a little surprised. I don't know. It says Imperial Porter, and I think I expected it to be bolder than the Anchor, and it's not really. So it's a good porter. As Imperial Porter, I think I would expect a little bit more. But I'm still going to give it a 5.
Excellent.
Nice. And I'd pair it with a big slab of chocolate cake.
Motherload.
Good stuff.
Excellent. I really kind of want to hear the tweet of the week.
Lost Maryland says, "Last night, I drank beer with a yard gnome and danced with a coconut monkey, till a man in a long black cloak took them away." Sad face. It's the tweet of the week! Tweet of the week! It's the tweet of the week! Tweet, tweet!
Tweet of the week, yeah! Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline.
All right, now it's time for some backwash. This is where we present the feedback from all the listeners, all our many listeners out there.
All many, of the many, 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 many listeners.
And by that we mean 3, 4?
4.
No, we did get some inputs from some friends and family, and we appreciate that. And the overall consensus is that the last podcast was... Too long. Which we knew. We knew it was. But we didn't know that until it was put all together. And there was only so much we could take out. So.
Yeah, we're really trying to keep it at an hour. And we kind of ran about an hour and a half last time.
Hey, come on. It was our first time.
I know.
But, yeah. So, anyway. We wanted to thank Crazy Dave out there. And we also wanted to thank Dave Rule. Yes, for his input, and was very impressed that thought we all sounded like we were in the same room, which was kind of cool, because we're like 3,000 miles away. And
the fact that we can make it sound like we're in the same room with all of us being scattered across the country is pretty impressive.
So yeah, so normally in the backwash segment, we'll take. List different emails and Twitter feedback, that kind of thing. And we will kind of either read them kind of on the fly on Twitter, or we'll read emails. So send in your emails. Send in Twitter responses. We love feedback, because the more we get, the better this podcast is going to be.
I want to thank a couple other people too before we get too far out. Mike's girlfriend, Renee, provided some really good feedback. She's not really a beer person, but definitely had some input as to how our interactions between each other went, and I really, really appreciate that. Also, Jeremy in Colorado, a guy that me and Mike used to work with at in La Jolla, also provided a bunch of feedback with in regards to just different breweries and stuff in Colorado, and we really, really appreciate that kind of stuff, because, you know, we don't, you know, Toby was talking earlier about San Diego having 35 different breweries. We lived there, and we didn't know there were that many.
And we knew, like, a handful of breweries out of Colorado, but Jeremy went and basically listed basically every brew coming out of Colorado, which was fantastic.
And the funny thing is he probably right. didn't list every brew, but he definitely definitely listed ones that he liked, which we definitely appreciate. And anybody else out there that has feedback in regards to, you know, where they are and what sort of beers they like and have input into that would definitely benefit us. One of the things that came up with Crazy Dave, we talked about this week, he's located in Temecula, which is just outside of San Diego. And we're probably going to be doing a segment with him later in next month, where he's going to be going to the Temecula Brew Festival and doing a little bit of segment about his experience there. And that's kind of what we want to try to do, is develop a network of beer drinkers across the country. Because obviously, you know, we are nationwide, you know, we're a podcast about beer from coast to coast, as we say, but we are just in three people in three different locations, so we don't have a reach into every individual segment of the country, so we are relying on some of the listeners to provide hopefully some content in the future.
I guess what we're saying too is, if you are a listener, you never know. You might be right here on the show with us, you know, for an episode. Right. So, Toby?
Sweet. I would like to say, drink craft beer.
Nice. I like that. Drink craft beer.
And go to imacraftbrewer.com.
It's an inspirational video, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can also look at Greg Koch, the CEO of, well, I shouldn't say CEO because I'm not sure about that, but one of the founders of Stone
Brewing.
One of the founders of Stone Brewing did the keynote address at the Craft Beer Festival in Boston. Boston, yeah. Craft Beer Week.
Yeah, I forget what it was called. Some kind of keynote.
A great keynote speech, and the beginning of that was the I'm a Craft Brewer video, but you can find both of those at imacraftbrewer.com. So
cool.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, so cool. That's kind of where I'm staying.
Yeah, we love craft beer, and that's about it for the backwash section of our podcast.
Alright, everybody, last call!
Okay, it's time for last call. We want to thank everybody for listening to this week's podcast, the wonderful Porter
Show. Thank you.
And we also would like you to check out the website. It's www.beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also email us at beercoasters.
Backwash.
Feedback.
The feedback is now backwash.
Go ahead, Chris.
It's backwash. Backwash at beercoasterspodcast.com.
And you can email us individually at mike@beercoasterspodcast.com.
Toby@beercoasterspodcast.com.
And chris@beercoasterspodcast.com.
And we also have a backwash hotline, and that number is 316-221-6846. Basically, you could just leave a voicemail of some backwash for any of the input that you have for the show. Would be greatly appreciated. And we may even use the audio from time to time on the show. So, you know, leave a message. We'll get back to you.
And you can subscribe on iTunes as well. If you go to iTunes and it's the iTunes store, and you go to podcast and you search for Beer Coasters, you'll find us, and you can subscribe through there. And you can listen to us on iTunes. Put it on your iPod and your iPhone and your
your eye something and your eye this and your eye that. Eye beer.
Eye beer.
And tell your friends. And tell your friends' friends. And tell your friends' friends to tell their friends.
And please leave some backwash. We want to hear what you got to say.
Sure. And don't forget that there is, on the website, a little spot where you can tip us. So if you want to support our beer habit, or our bandwidth, or anything, if you want this to be a video podcast, we could use some money for some HD cameras.
yeah, that might be a while. Yeah,
it's true. But hey, we can all dream, can't we? So, that's it.
Does anybody have any last thoughts?
I love porters. I think this is a great show. It's one of my favorite styles.
Porters.
The chocolate, and the cherry, and the coffee, and the dark roasted goodness. Love it.
Can I throw something out there real quick before we go? I wanted to talk about the Lee's Beer Experience that's happening here in Las Vegas. It is the third annual, and it's happening on May 30th, 2009. It's from 1 to 5, and it's at the Las Vegas Hilton Hotel. So it's North Strip. They're going to have hundreds of beers from all around the world. Tickets are $40 in advance, $50 at the door. They also have food there, so if you're there drinking, whatever, they'll have a free food that you can eat. Sometimes they'll have a guest speaker. When I was there for the first annual Lee's Beer Experience, they had a fellow from Blue Moon who was talking about what was coming out with the Blue Moon beers. And all the net proceeds from the event go to Lee's Helping Hand, which is an organization that re-gifts and funds local charities for children's charities. And
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah. And they even have a silent auction, and all the proceeds from that also go to the children's charities.
Cool.
Check it out. If you're in Vegas next weekend on the 30th and you want to go to a beer festival, check it out. The Lee's and third annual beer experience. It's awesome.
All right. Excellent. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to the Beer Coasters podcast. This is Mike from Boston, and I say...
This is Toby from Las Vegas.
And Chris from Dallas.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Drink local beer.